They change cultures. They're heat seekers. They run at adversity and embrace change. These are the Room Tilters.
Somebody who can change the temperature in a room when they walk in. And that's metaphorical for somebody who can influence those around them and make it such an impact quickly, emphatically, and long-lasting, whether it be an organization, a team, a relationship, whatever it might be.
This is the Room Tilters podcast, presented by Limitless Minds. Co-hosts DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, founders of peak performance and leadership consulting company, Limitless Minds, explore how the best and brightest change the temperature in a room. From sports, the military, entertainment and media, clinical psychologists to CEOs, this podcast will navigate what it takes to think big and go far. And now, DJ and Harry.
It's about damn time. We made it here. This is our maiden voyage into our Room Tilters podcast. I'm Harry Wilson, here with my co-host, DJ Eitzen. What's up, man?
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going? It feels good to be here on this Room Tilters podcast. And like you said, it's been way too long. We should have done this probably a year ago.
Maybe 5 years ago. We're excited to kind of embark on this journey. So we're calling this the Room Tilters podcast.
Yep.
And we've told this story about room tilting for some time now.
Yeah.
We used this concept when we worked together at a pharmaceutical company. It started about half a decade ago.
Seems like forever, man.
Right. And so we used this concept to try to build teams and have some success. So what we want to share with the audience, kind of what room tilters are, who they are, why they are, et cetera. For those who don't know who we are, DJ and I are not only best friends, but also we have co-founded a company called Limitless Minds, which is a peak performance and leadership consulting company. We founded that company with my baby brother, my kid brother, Russell Wilson. Who's,
you always say that you're more handsome than him, too. You're going to leave that one out?
My parents always told me to tell the truth. And so I maintain that at 35 years old, telling the truth. So I also usually say more talented and taller.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple of those are true. Some of them aren't. So we work on that. But Russ and then also Trevor Moad, who's one of the world's top thought leaders in mindset and mental conditioning for elite competitive athletes and thinkers. So, and we'll probably tell more about Limitless Minds along the way. But this podcast is really about people and characteristics of some of the best and the brightest room tilters. And so I wanted to share kind of the story and the genesis behind the phrase as far as the way that I think about it. So it was about late 2011. I'll set the scene. Late 2011, Indianapolis in Indiana. And I was an attendee at the first Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis. It was Wisconsin Badgers versus Michigan State Spartans. Quarterbacks Kirk Cousins versus Russell Wilson. There was a storyline from earlier in the year where Michigan State beat Wisconsin on a Hail Mary to end the game and kind of end the championship run for Wisconsin and maybe even the Heisman run for Russ. But we were there and we were really excited. At this point, it was really the biggest moment of Russell's career, thus mine, because I lived vicariously through him. And so we're there and it ended up being an epic game, 40-something to 40-something, kind of a full 60-minute affair. And Wisconsin came up on top. They won at the end, and Russell won the MVP. He, you know, walked around the field with a rose in his mouth heading to Pasadena. So it was really super exciting. And my dad had passed away about a year or so previous, so it was just kind of a cool moment.
Probably like the biggest moment, right?
At that point. Certainly. So we head back to the Indianapolis Marriott, and, you know, it was just a huge party. The marching band of Wisconsin is huge and robust, and they were in the lobby playing fight songs and different things, and everybody's celebrating wearing their red. And I'm trying to get to the bar. I'm looking for a bourbon. I'm a Kentucky guy. I'm looking for a bourbon, maybe a Woodford Reserve, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And I can't get to the bar. It's a lot of traffic. So I'm kind of poking my head up, can't get there. And this little guy comes out of kind of like the fray, right?
Yeah.
Wearing a brim ball cap, looks pretty young. And he approaches and he's like, "Hey, are you Russell Wilson's brother?" And I'm like, "Yeah," which I get a lot, right? So for those who haven't met me or seen me yet, I look like Russell's brother, right? So it's very easy to pick that up. And so I thought, yeah, this is another person just trying to ask if I'm Russell's brother because I'm a lookalike. But he said, "Hey, well, I'm John Schneider. I'm the GM of the Seattle Seahawks." So again, this is 2011. This is 6 or 7 months before Russell was drafted in the NFL. And so I perked up because, you know, it was exciting, right? You know, this is the GM of the Seattle Seahawks. Russell previously had just gotten his draft grade. He was undrafted.
Wow.
So he kind of made this gamble to play football instead of baseball by going to Wisconsin. And some folks may know the story. And so we had some small talk, John and I, and ultimately he said, "You know what? We came to see your brother." I thought that was exciting. And he said, "We need a quarterback and we need an individual who can tilt a room." We need an individual who can tilt a room. And I was in pharma in device at the time. And so kind of going back and forth between both of those kind of markets. And I thought, gosh, you know, I'm a budding leader. What does he mean by tilt a room? What does that mean? So I asked him, right. What does that mean, John? What do you, define that for me? And he said, somebody who can tilt a room has the ability to change the temperature in a room when they walk in. And if you can imagine tilting a room, all the furniture, the refrigerator, the computer, the chairs, everything's going to...
People.
Yeah, the people, everything's going to flow towards them, right, in the corner of that room.
Yeah.
And I thought, damn, that's good, right?
It's really good.
I hadn't thought about it that way, right? Somebody who can change the temperature in a room when they walk in. Mm. And that's metaphorical for somebody who can influence those around them and make it such an impact quickly, emphatically, and long-lasting, whether it be an organization, a team, a relationship, whatever it might be. And so, you know, I thought, man, like, that's good stuff. And it's obviously stuck with me right. ever since, and to the point where I met you in late 2013.
Yeah.
So really about 2 years later, almost to the day, we met, and we were tasked with building some teams in the Midwest, I being in like Kentucky, Indiana, Southern Illinois, and then you being in what, Cleveland, Detroit.
Yeah. Ohio, Michigan, basically.
And so, you know, we thought, like, how are we going to do this? How should we approach it? And so I remember sharing that story with you, and that was kind of our mantra in the background,
which is,
you know, let's identify individuals that can tilt a room, and the individuals that we have that have those qualities, let's develop those, right? Let's accentuate those. Let's pull those out. Let's maximize those qualities.
That's
and
right.
So fast forward to about a half a decade later in the journey to start this organization of Limitless Minds, we wanted to make room tilting, identifying talent and individuals who can tilt a room, a part of our DNA.
That's right.
And thus this podcast called Room Tilters. Tell us a little bit about what we want to do. Like, what's our objective and what are we trying to get out of this?
Yeah, thing? I mean, by listening to this podcast, these conversations that Harry and I have had, what we've noticed and realized is that it takes a certain mindset for people to be able to tilt a room. It takes a certain skill set for them to be able to tilt a room. We found that a lot of companies, even coaches, train around the skills, like the tactical skills. You know, if I'm, you know, working in computers, I need to know certain technical skills to be successful in that. But what we're finding that people that are successful is that they're doing these soft skills and these things that can tilt a room, things that around mindset that help them run at adversity, embrace change. And so these are things that we'll discuss on this podcast, and we'll bring some of the top people and thought leaders in the country and in the world in these areas so that we can see what attributes, what does it take? What can I actually do to tilt a room?
Right.
What can I do to have significant influence on people around me? And then ultimately my company or maybe the nation or the world. And so these are things that we're fascinated with, and these are things that we're going to discuss on the podcast.
You said soft skills, right? And that's a term that's broadly used now.
Yep.
We're finding in research that organizations are looking more and more for, you know, soft skills, mm-hmm. talent management and talent acquisitions and HR are looking to create game plans for soft skill training.
Yep.
And honestly, taking a deeper dive into mindset and elite competitive thinking, we're kind of internally, at least, calling these winning skills.
Yes.
Right? Trying to make these soft skills a little hard where they're tangible, where you can kind of feel and see them activated. You can draw some sort of line to success and performance
and
for an organization, bottom line, for an individual, whatever metric they're trying to hit in their world. So I would love for this audience to kind of depart a little bit from the concept of mindset training being about soft skills and more about behaviors rather than outcomes,
yes.
right? Behaviors that can be trained, right? Just like you would train for a marathon. And the terminology that you'll hear us talk about a lot is mental conditioning, where it's not so much about just training,
mm-hmm.
but it's conditioning. And that's a key phrase for us, where conditioning requires building experiences on top of experience. Just like you would train for a marathon, 26.2, you don't just go down and run it.
Yep.
You put it together.
Really good point. What we've seen too is that it is exactly what you're saying. It's about behaviors. A lot of times, and you'll hear certain language that we use on this podcast. We obviously use it with Limitless Minds training. But essentially what we're looking at is, like, how can you change or enhance the language? And then ultimately that will change the behaviors, which in turn changes the results. And so that's what we'll see. And so this is going to be an opportunity for our listeners for the 20 minutes or half an hour, however long the podcast is that time, to be able to learn some of the language that these elite performers use, because that ultimately, like you said, drives their behaviors, which in turn gives them elite results. And I think that's what everybody will take from these podcasts that we're going to deliver.
So what does it look like, DJ? I mean, room tilter, if you were to define it or put it in Merriam's dictionary, what are some of the characteristics that a room tilter carries?
No, it's a great question. I think that one of the things I've seen that room tilters do is that they're able to relate to people of all backgrounds, all origins, all lifestyles, and they really become passionate about learning about these other cultures and other types of people. And by doing that, what they're inherently doing is they're learning about their audience. So they're better able to connect with them. And you know I love Cialdini, right?
You love Cialdini, man. Like, I feel like Cialdini's your uncle.
That's my boy.
Have you done 23andMe? Because I feel like Cialdini is like a relative, part of your ancestry. That's how much you love Cialdini.
I do love Cialdini. And he wrote a book, and if you haven't read it, it's called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. Mm-hmm. And he has an interesting quote in there that relates to this. It says, "We like people who are similar to us. This fact seems to hold true whether the similarity is in the area of opinions, personal traits, backgrounds, or lifestyle." And the reason why that's important is not because he's saying, go hang out with a bunch of people that are just like you. He's actually saying the opposite. He's saying that your ability to be able to relate to people of different origins, personality traits, backgrounds, or lifestyle will have a direct correlation on your ability to influence them. Uh-huh. And so that's really powerful. And so when I look at people that really have a significant influence or really know how to tilt a room, then these are people that aren't afraid to learn about people that are different than them. And once they do that, they learn what the audience wants, whether it's the audience that they're leading as a coach or a district manager or a vice president of whatever. They're better able to do that because they know exactly what their people want. That's what I found here. Yeah. I want to share with the audience.
And that's really good. I mean, I think that room tilters, you know, obviously there's a plethora of characteristics and we're not all built the same. We don't have to all have the same personality, style, approach to be a room tilter and when we're looking to identify talent or somebody we're working with or building a relationship with, and not everybody has to be the same and have the same qualities and kind of in their DNA. That's just one of them. I think that's one of them, a solid example. And that reminds me a little bit about the story I was telling earlier about John Schneider, right? Mm-hmm. And the one piece I didn't mention was that in our conversation, I asked him, like, how does he know that Russell's a room tilter? What indicated that to him? And he said one of the flags that was raised on that, in addition to kind of all the research they had done, they'd been kind of watching him while he was previously at NC State, was that when he showed up at Wisconsin, they watched very closely to see what happened, right? He transferred to Wisconsin after being at NC State for 3 years. And he showed up around July 7th. Remember, the season starts like in late August, and they start their training camp in early August.
Yeah.
Showed up July 7th, and by July 28th, he was voted captain of the team. One of the captains of the team, right? And so obviously he didn't know anybody prior to that, really. So it's kind of like, well, why did it happen? Like, what behaviors put in place? And certainly there was a lot of behaviors. You will have to admit that a room tilter, oftentimes, they have skill set. They have a talent. They may be one of the better players or the better salespeople or the better individuals in their roles relative to their peers.
Right.
That typically happens, too. We can't discard skills and talent.
That's right.
Important, right? That's a piece to it. But in that scenario, what observing what Russ was able to do and what he had done previously is he was able to, like you said, kind of capture kind of the relatability to all the individuals on it that were out there that he was having a chance to kind of get in front of and meet and
right.
You know, eventually lead. He also kind of assumed a leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
He assumed that he was going to be the captain of the team, right?
Yeah.
He made that assumption and then kind of put behaviors in place to kind of hold his end of the bargain, right?
Yes.
The other thing I'll say about Russ as a room tilter is that he's one of the most confident people I've ever met. And I think some people mistakenly think that confidence is something that you have or you don't have, and that is kind of, you know, innate or kind of you're born with confidence.
Mm-hmm.
For my brother and for at least for me as an individual and individuals that I respect and that I've seen as room tilters, I think that confidence really comes from all the preparation. And so Russell was preparing at a level that he wanted nobody else to prepare harder or better or more efficiently than he did.
Right.
And the cool thing about preparation is typically people around you can see that. That's where we're going from taking something that's a soft skill, right, and making it a little more tangible, more
right.
of a hard skill, right, if you will, right, is that preparation is not always, sometimes a lot of your preparation is behind the scene, but oftentimes in some environments, preparation can be seen by your peers and people you're leading and people that you report to and whatever it
that's
might be.
Right.
And so your relation, you know, the other person on the other side of the relationship. And so that gains respect when nobody says, man, they prepared too hard.
Right.
Nobody says that. I mean, Peyton Manning was known for his preparation. And Marvin Harrison, who's a Hall of Fame wide receiver,
mm-hmm.
they were known for doing the same pregame prep, however many minutes, hours before the game,
right.
running the same route tree. Game in and game out
yes.
for years, right? And they never changed, never wavered from that. Was part of their game plan for preparation. And my brother always says, you know, like the separation is in the preparation. And it's true. It's cliche as it can be.
But he lives it, though.
Right. Well, the thing about cliches is that even though cliches might be annoying to some, they're cliches for a reason. It's because typically they're true, right?
That's a good point.
And so there's nothing wrong with cliches in my opinion, but I think that the preparation piece in that specific scenario where John Schneider identified Russ as a room tilter was really key to Russell being able to earn that opportunity as a captain, because the preparation turned into confidence. And the confidence was something that everybody could see, and there was a gap that he was filling in that particular role for that particular organization, that team.
I'm glad you brought that up, the preparation part, because I've had the opportunity through this journey with Russ being a co-founder to see his preparation. And it is contagious in terms of like even saying and looking in the mirror and saying, am I preparing well enough for whatever the task is at hand or whatever the goals we're trying to achieve? And so I've got to see him do that firsthand, and it's been pretty fun to watch. The other thing is that, you know, you brought up, you know, John Schneider and, you know, some of the things that he saw. What do you think the teammates saw when the first meeting with him and he's sitting down, and you said that time frame was short in terms of when he became the captain? What do you think it was going through their minds?
They were hopeful. What I mean by that is Russell joined a team that year that felt like they were a quarterback away from taking the next leap. And they had some great young men and some young men on the team at that position too that were just great guys and talented. But I think they felt like they could use another kind of step up.
Yep.
From a talent perspective, sure. And just kind of overall leadership perspective, mm-hmm. right? And so I think, remember we talked about room tilters have a tendency to be able to change the temperature
right.
in the room when they walk in.
Yeah.
And so Russell's talent level was a part of the temperature changer, right? Coming in and saying, okay, there's a certain skill set here that is above and beyond what we have currently. So I think that's the first thing that you see, you know, to be honest with you. But then they see a lot of the behaviors, right? And you mentioned language earlier. And Russ, ever since he was younger, has a very clear understanding of language. And not even talking about how he speaks to the people around him or his peers, but it's his language that he speaks to himself. At 5'10 and some change, and different obstacles that one is faced with that aren't specific to Russ necessarily, that broadly anybody's faced with in life, specifically as a quarterback and, you know, at a Power 5 school, and then trying to take a chance to make it to the next level, mm-hmm. he didn't have much of a margin for error. This was his shot. And previously he had his opportunities, and this was his next shot to kind of show himself that he kind of is worthy for the next opportunity, which would be the NFL.
Yeah.
And so, like, he has this maniacal approach and this non-negotiable approach to how he speaks to himself. And that shines through in your behaviors, right?
That's
like
right.
you mentioned before. And so Russell comes off as a positive person, and because he is, really, truthfully. But really what he's activating is the concept of eliminating negativity. Eliminating negativity, and he's, like I said, he's non-negotiable about it. If you're a negative person, you will find yourself not in his world anymore. And that didn't start season 4 of NFL or after winning a Super Bowl or losing a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It started when he was a teenager.
I love what you're saying, because the reality of it is when you think about this, and this is why what you're going to hear on these podcasts is it's so powerful. These are things that we can control. I can control myself from saying stupid stuff. I don't have to say dumb stuff. I can control the fact that I can believe that I'm going to go out and accomplish a goal, and then I'm going to plan and prepare and set a plan out to achieve that goal. And so these are actionable things that you can do. And whether it's in business or in your personal life or with your relationships, all of these things that you'll hear on these podcasts are going to be things that are going to help you in all three of those areas, and they're going to spill into each other. And that's what I love about this journey so far, is that we've been able to talk to some of the best and brightest minds. We've been able to see the recipe and the blueprint of what makes them successful. And now we're able to share that with the world. And, you know, we set out to do this thing, whether it's through the podcast medium or through Limitless Minds. Our goal was, how can we have a profound positive impact on millions of people ultimately? And we have goals that each year that we want to accomplish to make that happen. But I'm really excited about this opportunity to share what we've learned.
You've been listening to the Room Tilters podcast, hosted by DJ Eitzen and Harry Wilson, presented by Limitless Minds.